Imagine discovering your entire identity is a lie. The parents who raised you, the life story you've built your sense of self around, all fabricated. Now imagine making this discovery while being hunted by a masked killer wielding a bow and arrow. This is the heart-stopping reality for the protagonists in Two Sides to Every Murder, Danielle Valentine's gripping psychological thriller that has captivated readers since its release. The novel has garnered significant attention in the thriller community, with Stephen King calling it a masterclass in sustained tension. Its exploration of family secrets and identity has made it a book club favorite, with readers drawn to Valentine's ability to weave complex family dynamics into a nail-biting murder mystery. The book's success follows Valentine's previous bestsellers under both this name and her Danielle Vega pseudonym, cementing her status as one of contemporary horror's most versatile voices. The Legend of the Witch of Lost Lake begins with a gruesome double murder. 16 years ago at Camp Lost Lake, archery instructor Jacob Knight and teenager Gia North were killed with arrows, while Matthew Knight mysteriously disappeared. Jacob's wife, Lori Knight, was blamed for the killings after being seen in a witch mask, earning her the nickname the Witch of Lost Lake. The murders happened just as Miranda D'Angeli, the camp director, went into labor with her daughter Olivia in the camp parking lot. This horrific story has shaped Olivia's entire life. At 10 years old, she first heard about it at a slumber party and became obsessed with researching every detail of her unusual birth story. Now 16, Olivia's world implodes when a genetic test meant to prove her Italian heritage for a school assignment reveals something shocking. Johnny D'Angeli, the man who raised her, is not her biological father. Staring at an old photograph, Olivia notices Jacob Knight, the murdered man, glaring angrily at her mother in the background. Could her mother have had an affair with Jacob? Is he possibly her real father? This revelation sets Olivia on a dangerous path to uncover the truth about her identity and the infamous murders that coincided with her birth. Meanwhile, Regan Knight has spent the past year on the run with her mother, Lori, the alleged Witch of Lost Lake. Once a promising swimmer with college aspirations, Regan sacrificed everything when her mother woke her in the night, claimed she'd been framed, and asked Regan to flee with her. Despite this loyalty, Regan is determined to clear her mother's name and reclaim her normal life. What neither girl knows is that their separate quests for truth will lead them to a shocking discovery. They are identical twins, separated at birth, and everything they've been told about their origins is built on lies. Olivia D'Angeli has always felt like something was missing in her life. Raised by Johnny and Miranda D'Angeli in the shadow of Camp Lost Lake, she's grown up hearing whispers about the murders that coincided with her birth. Her much older sister Andy has always been distant, successful, polished, and seemingly perfect, but emotionally unavailable. When Olivia discovers Johnny isn't her biological father, her entire sense of self crumbles. Who is she really? Why has her mother lied to her all these years? The timing of the murders and her birth seems too coincidental, especially when she notices Jacob Knight staring at her mother in an old photograph with unmistakable anger. Regan Knight presents a striking contrast to Olivia's sheltered existence. Living out of a pickup truck with her mother Lori, Regan has sacrificed everything normal about teenage life, her friends, her promising swimming career, her education, all because she believes in her mother's innocence. Her determination to clear Lori's name stems from both love and a desperate desire to reclaim some semblance of normalcy. "I've spent a year of my life living out of a truck," Regan reflects, "sleeping in Walmart parking lots, using truck stop showers, all because my mom was framed for murder, and I'm the only one who believes her." This unwavering loyalty drives Regan to return to Camp Lost Lake, risking everything to find evidence that might exonerate her mother. She's fixated on a single clue overlooked by investigators, a camp key card with the name M. Edwards written on it, found at the murder scene. Regan believes this mysterious M. Edwards might be the real killer who framed her mother. What neither girl realizes is that they are mirror images of each other, identical twins separated at birth, each raised with half-truths about their origins. Their parallel journeys toward the truth highlight how identity forms through both nature and nurture, and how discovering your entire life is built on lies can shatter your fundamental understanding of yourself. 16 years ago, teenage gossip queen Gia North was murdered at Camp Lost Lake alongside archery instructor Jacob Knight. According to legend, Gia had captured something incriminating on her video camera before she died, evidence that might reveal the true killer's identity. Known for documenting every scandalous moment at camp, Gia's camera had become both her weapon and, ultimately, perhaps the reason for her demise. But the camera vanished into thin air that night, becoming Camp Lost Lake's most enduring mystery. When Gia's infamous lost camera suddenly drops from the sky onto the concrete patio at Camp Lost Lake, a small Sony Handycam still bearing her distinctive butterfly stickers, it triggers a cascade of deadly events. The camera, weathered but intact, becomes the most dangerous object at camp, a direct link to the past that someone will kill to possess. Its sudden appearance feels almost supernatural, as if the past itself is demanding justice. For Reagan, whose mother has spent 16 years in prison for the murders, the camera represents potential vindication and hope. Every night of her childhood was spent visiting hours in a prison, watching her mother maintain her innocence. For Olivia, whose entire identity has been built on half-truths, the camera might hold answers about her true parentage and the real reason her sister Andy has always been so protective of family secrets. The camera's footage reveals something that rocks the foundation of everything they thought they knew. Andy D'Angeli, Olivia's seemingly perfect older sister, confronting Gia on the night of the murders. The grainy nighttime footage shows Andy in a heated argument with Gia near the archery range, her face contorted with rage, a side of Andy that no one has ever seen before. While the footage doesn't explicitly show Andy committing murder, it raises disturbing questions about her involvement and why she maintained 16 years of silence about what she witnessed. "This video could exonerate my mother," Reagan realizes with growing excitement and fury, her hands shaking as she rewinds the footage again and again. This is proof that someone else was there that night, someone who's been lying all these years. The camera becomes more than just evidence. It's a symbol of truth in a story built on lies, a tangible link to the past that forces long-buried secrets into the harsh light of day. Its reappearance sets off a deadly race against time, as the girls must decipher its contents before the killer, who has waited patiently in the shadows for 16 years, strikes again to protect their secrets. What makes the camera particularly powerful is its unblinking eye. It doesn't just record events, it captures raw emotions and unguarded moments that people never intended to share. The truth it reveals isn't just about who committed murder, but about the complex web of relationships, betrayals, and secrets that led to that fateful night 16 years ago. Each frame of footage peels back another layer of lies, revealing how the past continues to haunt the present at Camp Lost Lake. The most shocking moment in the narrative comes when Reagan and Olivia finally encounter each other face to face in the abandoned lodge. The revelation is instantaneous and visceral. They are identical, down to the freckles, eyes, and hair. This encounter forces both girls to confront an impossible truth. They are twins, separated at birth, and one of their mothers has been lying to them their entire lives. "The girl standing before me is my mirror image," Reagan thinks in stunned disbelief. "We're the same height, the same build. We have the same eyes, the same nose, the same freckles scattered across our cheeks." This moment of recognition is immediately followed by mortal danger, as a figure in the infamous Witch of Lost Lake mask appears and murders Sawyer with an arrow through the neck. The twins are forced to flee together, their world-shattering discovery temporarily overshadowed by the immediate threat to their lives. The mistaken identity theme runs throughout the narrative. Officer Carly Knight experiences déjà vu upon seeing Olivia, having seen Reagan earlier that day. Jack mistakes Olivia for Reagan in the woods. Andy calls Reagan Olivia when she first encounters her. These confusions are not merely plot devices, but reflections of the deeper identity crisis at the heart of the story. For Reagan, discovering she has a twin raises painful questions about her mother's honesty. If Lori Knight isn't her biological mother, who is she? And why would she separate Reagan from her sister? For Olivia, the revelation compounds her existing identity crisis about her father's paternity. Now she must question whether Miranda is even her biological mother at all. This theme of mistaken identity extends beyond the twins to encompass the entire mystery. Everyone at Camp Lost Lake is wearing a mask of some kind, hiding their true selves, their past actions, their deepest secrets. The witch's physical mask merely symbolizes the metaphorical masks worn by everyone involved in the 16-year-old tragedy. As the twins dig deeper into the mystery, they uncover a tangled web of family secrets that have been carefully maintained for 16 years. The truth emerges in shocking fragments. Andy D'Angeli, Olivia's perfect older sister, was secretly pregnant as a teenager. The ultrasound Olivia found, showing her mother only 18 weeks pregnant on her supposed birth date, wasn't Miranda's. It was Andy's. "I couldn't have killed anyone that night," Andy reveals to Olivia in the basement, "because I was giving birth." The truth is more complex than either girl imagined. Andy was pregnant with twins, Reagan and Olivia, fathered by Matthew Knight. When the murders occurred, Andy was in labor at the lighthouse. Lori Knight, who everyone believed was the killer, was actually helping Andy deliver her babies when she witnessed Officer Carly Knight murder Gia North. Fearing for the safety of one of the newborn twins, Lori took Reagan and fled, allowing herself to be framed for the murders rather than risk Carly killing the baby. Meanwhile, Andy and Miranda constructed an elaborate lie that Miranda had given birth to Olivia to protect Andy's future and reputation. "My mother lied to me my entire life," Olivia realizes with crushing clarity. "She's not even my mother at all." These revelations force both girls to reevaluate everything they thought they knew about themselves and their families. Reagan must reconcile the fact that Lori, while not her biological mother, sacrificed everything to protect her. Olivia must come to terms with Andy being her biological mother and the years of deception from the people she trusted most. The family secrets extend beyond the twins' parentage to encompass Officer Carly Knight's motives for the original murders. Carly had sacrificed 14 years caring for her ill mother, expecting her brother Jacob to eventually take over so she could start her own life. When Jacob informed her that Matthew had gotten a girl pregnant with twins and they needed to help the young family instead, Carly snapped in a moment of blind rage, killing her brother and then Gia when she witnessed the murder. 16 years after the original murders, the Witch of Lost Lake returns. A figure in the same drooping witch mask, wielding a bow and arrow with deadly precision. As bodies begin to pile up at the newly reopened camp, the twins must determine whether they're facing a copycat killer or if the truth about the original murders is even more twisted than they imagined. The first victim is Sawyer, killed with an arrow through the neck in a manner chillingly similar to Jacob Knight's murder 16 years earlier. The parallels are unmistakable. The witch mask, the archery equipment, the perfect aim. These similarities suggest either the original killer has returned or someone is meticulously recreating the infamous murders. "The witch's mask has dried blood crested on it," Olivia observes in horror, "and she's still holding her bow." As more bodies fall, Eric Weisel is found strangled, Jack is shot with an arrow in the shoulder, the pattern becomes clear. The new killer is targeting anyone helping Reagan and Olivia uncover the truth. The murders aren't random, but calculated to protect secrets that have remained buried for 16 years. The identity of the new witch proves to be Officer Carly Knight herself, Jacob's sister, and the original murderer who framed Lori. Carly's motive is financial. She recently discovered her mother left her entire estate to Matthew's twin daughters rather than to her. Upon seeing Reagan and Olivia separately on the same day and recognizing them as twins, Carly realized they were the rightful heirs to the fortune she believed she deserved after years of caretaking. "I gave up my entire life to take care of my mother," Carly rages. 14 years of my life, gone. And for what? So she could leave everything to Matthew's brats? The parallels between past and present create a cyclical nature to the violence at Camp Lost Lake. Just as the original murders stemmed from Carly's rage at being denied what she felt entitled to, her return as the witch is motivated by the same sense of entitlement and injustice. History repeats itself as Carly once again dons the witch mask to eliminate those who stand between her and what she believes she deserves. Despite being strangers thrust into a life-threatening situation, Reagan and Olivia gradually develop a bond that transcends their traumatic circumstances. Their connection isn't immediate or easy. They approach the truth from opposite perspectives, with Reagan initially suspecting Olivia's family and Olivia fiercely defensive of her sister Andy. The tension between them is palpable in their early interactions, marked by distrust and conflicting loyalties that mirror the fractured nature of their hidden family ties. Their relationship evolves through shared danger and discovery, each crisis bringing them closer together. When Reagan is caught in a bear trap, Olivia demonstrates the first glimpse of their innate connection by risking her own safety to help, dropping to her knees beside her twin and struggling to free her despite the approaching darkness and threat of further danger. This moment marks a turning point, showing how their bond transcends their conscious choices, something deeper pulling them together. The sisters' connection strengthens further during the confrontation with Officer Knight. When he forces Reagan to climb the treacherous lighthouse stairs at gunpoint, Olivia and Andy follow without hesitation, driven by an instinctive need to protect their newly discovered family member. The climactic moment arrives when Reagan positions herself to push Knight through the lighthouse window. Olivia instantly understands her twin's intentions without a word spoken between them, joining the attack in perfect synchronization, demonstrating their emerging twin connection. "Family takes care of each other," Olivia tells Reagan after they survive Knight's attack, her words carrying the weight of their shared ordeal and newfound understanding. "Yeah," Reagan agrees, taking her hand. "I guess they do." This simple exchange represents their acceptance of their connection, despite its complicated origins. This nascent sisterhood represents hope amid the darkness of their shared trauma, blooming like wildflowers through cracks in concrete. 3 months after the events at Camp Lost Lake, we see them together preparing for their first day of senior year, a normal teenage milestone made extraordinary by their circumstances. Though their relationship is still developing, marked by occasional awkwardness and uncertainty, Olivia has come to deeply value having a twin sister, while Reagan has found enough peace to settle in Lost Lake with Lori while fighting to clear her name. Their bond remains complicated by Reagan's unresolved feelings toward Andy, who she hasn't forgiven for separating them and lying about their parentage. The weight of 17 years of lost time hangs between them, creating moments of tension and unspoken grief. Yet there's a sense that time might heal even these wounds, as the twins navigate their new reality together, learning to balance their individual identities with their shared connection. The sisterhood theme extends beyond the twins to encompass the complex relationship between Andy and her mother Miranda, who conspired to hide Andy's teenage pregnancy and raise Olivia as Miranda's daughter. Their deception, while causing immeasurable pain, emerged from a tangled web of love, fear, and protection. Miranda trying to shield her daughter from judgment while giving her grandchild a stable home, and Andy struggling with impossible choices at 16. Their story illustrates how family bonds can simultaneously wound and heal, creating patterns that echo through generations until truth finally breaks through. The sisterhood theme extends beyond the twins to encompass the complex relationship between Andy and her mother Miranda, who conspired to hide Andy's teenage pregnancy and raise Olivia as Miranda's daughter. Their deception, while causing immeasurable pain, emerged from a tangled web of love, fear, and protection. Miranda trying to shield her daughter from judgment while giving her grandchild a stable home, and Andy struggling with impossible choices at 16. Their story illustrates how family bonds can simultaneously wound and heal, creating patterns that echo through generations until truth finally breaks through. Just when all secrets appear revealed and the twins are beginning to build a new life together, Valentine delivers a final, shocking twist. Matthew Knight, presumed dead for 16 years and believed to be the twins' father, is alive. The revelation comes in the novel's final pages as Andy visits the spot where she believes Matthew died. In a moment of brutal honesty, she recalls their argument 16 years ago, when Matthew suggested she sacrifice her future while he attended NYU. Enraged by his dismissive attitude, Andy pushed him, never expecting him to stumble backward through the lighthouse window. "I watched his body hit the water," Andy remembers, "as the first contraction ripped through me." This confession explains why Andy never worked to exonerate Lori. She feared investigation would reveal her own guilt in Matthew's apparent death. But as she places flowers at the lake's edge and apologizes to Matthew's memory, Andy is shocked to discover him alive, filthy, feral, with long tangled hair and carrying a bloody bear trap. This twist recontextualizes everything we thought we knew about the events at Camp Lost Lake. Matthew's survival suggests he may have been responsible for some of the recent attacks, particularly the bear trap that injured Reagan. His feral state and failure to recognize Andy hint at possible brain damage from his fall or psychological trauma from years of isolation. Most disturbingly, the twist implies that the cycle of violence at Camp Lost Lake may not be over. Matthew's threatening gesture toward Andy, swinging the chain and trap toward her face, suggests he harbors rage that could endanger everyone, including his daughters, who have only just discovered their true identities. This final revelation reminds us that in Valentine's world, nothing is as it seems. Every truth contains another lie, every resolution holds the seed of new conflict, and the past is never truly buried. It merely waits beneath the surface, ready to emerge when least expected. At its core, Two Sides to Every Murder explores how lies, even those told with good intentions, create ripple effects that damage lives for generations. Every character in the novel pays a price for deception, whether their own or others. Miranda and Andy's decision to hide Andy's pregnancy and raise Olivia as Miranda's daughter seemed protective at the time, but resulted in Olivia's profound identity crisis when she discovered the truth. Lori's choice to flee with Reagan rather than face murder charges meant years of unstable living and Reagan sacrificing her entire future. Officer Knight's original lie, framing Lori for murders she committed, led to her own eventual downfall and death. "My entire life has been a lie," Olivia realizes. "Every single thing I thought I knew about myself is wrong." The novel suggests that truth, however painful, is ultimately less destructive than deception. When Reagan and Olivia finally learn their true origins, they can begin to heal and build authentic relationships. When Andy confesses the full story to Olivia, it creates an opportunity for eventual reconciliation, despite the initial shock and anger. Yet Valentine doesn't offer easy moral judgments. Each lie in the story stems from complex motivations: love, fear, protection, ambition. Lori lied to Reagan about being her biological mother because she genuinely believed she was protecting her from a murderer. Andy and Miranda constructed their elaborate deception partly to give Olivia a stable home with two parents. The legacy of these lies extends beyond emotional damage to physical violence. The murders at Camp Lost Lake, both 16 years ago and in the present, stem directly from secrets people were desperate to protect. This connection between deception and violence suggests that lies, even well-intentioned ones, contain the seeds of destruction. In the end, the novel leaves us with a haunting question. Is it ever truly possible to escape the consequences of our lives? The final twist, Matthew's survival, implies that no matter how thoroughly we think we've buried the past, it eventually finds its way back to the surface, demanding recognition and reckoning.